And I actually want to talk tonight about lament. Lament. This word has gained popularity in our culture in different ways, and I'm not 100% sure which way they would take it, but I want to look at lament, healing, freedom, and intimacy with God. So does anyone in here like movies? Some of y'all are holier than me. So there are different genres of movies, right? Different kinds. Hallmark. Can't stomach that myself. But action. I actually know one young lady who anytime she watches an action movie, she falls asleep because she finds it so boring. But when Disney is on, I guess it's like her crack cocaine. There's romance. In fact, I know one alpha male who loves Jane Austen, especially Little Dorrit. Touches his heart, and he quotes it all the time. Or maybe you're a little bit like me, and you like travel or historical documentaries. To other people, that is like torture. But if you give me one, like on online and one of those streaming services, and you see like it's China, and they're going to show me the geography, the animals, and the people, and how they live, and everything, I just love it because it makes me think of like missions, and like I'm basically traveling there and seeing how they live, and that's exciting. And there are all of these different genres that we each, according to our personalities, tend to be drawn towards. We tend to be drawn towards them. That's why on our apps it can say next movie suggested or next song suggested. Because there's genres of music, genres. And the Bible has genres as well. The Bible is inspired, holy, and beautiful. But it's also literature, which makes it even more beautiful. Who has not been just so amazed at the poetry and the wisdom of Proverbs, of the Songs, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, all of these things? There's prophecy, the speaking forth the judgment of God and the heart of God in Isaiah and Jeremiah, or the foretelling of future events of Ezekiel and Daniel and Revelation, all of these different genres there are. But I want to draw us to our attention to lament. Lament. Lament is found in 67 of the 150 Psalms within our Bibles. Lament. We even have a book in here called Lamentations. Lamentations. Weepings. Weepings. Complainings to God. And nearly half of our Psalms are laments. So what is a lament? A lamentation. It's a complaint or request to God by an individual or by a whole community. Maybe by all of Israel whenever they're being judged by God and the Babylonians are ripping women apart. And ungodly things, terrible things, and a cry is coming up to God on behalf of the people. Or like Daniel even, oh God, forgive us, we have sinned against you. And we have been held here for so many years. Put very bluntly, it's a complaint. And to a lot of people, I know that might feel uncomfortable. Depending on the type of religious, or if I could put it that way, Christian tradition you come from. We should never complain to God. We should always be thankful no matter what. No matter if your leg's hanging off or your dog died or something like this. You know, we should, you know, stiffen up the upper lip. You know what I mean? Maybe kind of old school Pentecostal. Don't complain to God because that is disrespectful. But in my Bible, in Psalm 142, it says this. With my voice, I cry out to the Lord. With my voice, I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. We can pour out the raw realities of our heart. Pour it out. I can pour out my complaint to God. I can tell him exactly how I feel. Lamentations 3:16 to 24 says, he has made my teeth grind on gravel and made me cower in ashes. What's going on? Armies have surrounded Jerusalem and they are destroying it. And this prophet is watching it. He's watching it. It's been under siege. It's not just, yeah, we pulled the troops there in 1 or 2 days. No, this is weeks, months. This is what's going on. My soul is bereft of peace. I have no peace. I've forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. Remember my afflictions and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall, bitter things. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Can you just hear just the arms lifting up a sacrifice of praise to God? The people are still being killed in the streets. He's still starving. His bones are sticking to his skin. And yet he says in the middle of his lament, but you are still God and you are still good. In verse 24, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. So complaining, two different types of complaining. Israel complained against God without faith in the desert. They had no faith in their complainings. It was just, I don't like the food. I wish I would have flown first class. And they died in the wilderness because they rebelled against God and had no faith. But biblical lamenting, I can state the facts openly to God and come to him in the relationship he has given me as a father. That Jesus is even called my brother. My goodness, my brother, my Lord, my King, my Savior. All of these things. A lament is a tool to deal with grief. But we don't stay in our grief. Because we bring our grief to a person named Jesus. And I'd like to go through one of these lament psalms with you. Psalm 13, please read through it with me. And I'm going to encourage you to take notes. Even if you take a piece of paper out or your phone. And I'm just going to believe that God is going to begin to bring things up in your heart. Even while I'm speaking. And that he's going to begin to help you to grieve. Maybe things that are there. This has come out of a very personal time. God helping me to not put things in boxes like I tend to do. Maybe that's as a man. Maybe that's just my own personality. But I tend to kind of box them away. Pretend they don't exist. Put them aside. Let's just keep soldiering on and let's keep going. Thinking that somehow I'm going to be okay. And that's healthy. It's not healthy. Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. And I wonder if this could actually be being lifted up right now in Afghanistan among all the believers. I wonder if right now they're lifting up a lament to God. Oh God, 20 years of freedom. 20 years, was that it? That's it? 20 years and we hardly had freedom to follow you. And now the Taliban's coming back. Oh God, arise. Where are you? I thought you loved me. Where are you? It's so easy. In America, we think that the Lord's coming back when the economy has an inflation of 6%. Why are we better than the Christians in North Korea who are imprisoned to the third generation for owning a Bible or going to a church meeting? Why are we better than the Afghanis, the women who are going to be hurt, and all the other things that are going to happen? We might pour out a lament like this as a nation one day. Through lament, we bring our pain and our grief to Jesus. And we will never be fully intimate with the Lord unless we open up every part of our lives to him. All the darkness, all the black boxes, all the things from our past, all the things people did to us, all the things we did, lost and saved. God, you already know them. God, I'm opening them up. God, they're painful. God, I'm afraid. What will you do to me? I don't want to think about it. Fine, I'll think about it. Why did that happen to me? Why did this happen to me, Jesus? Where were you? but you're good and I know you and I love you and I'm struggling to comprehend what's going on. It's okay to be in a struggle. It's okay to be in this battle. It's okay to bleed out from your heart and not know what to do with the emotions. In fact, God wants you to, because only when we lay down on the doctor's table can He begin to cut out the infection. Until I lay down and let Him put the anesthesia in me. Except this kind of surgery. You might feel all the pain. You might feel all the pain. But I've had two people write this recently. In that trauma healing book that I read, the woman said it. And Pastor Lena's most recent newsletter. It was amazing. Lean into the pain. Don't hide from it anymore. The abuse, the molestation, the addictions, the shame, all of it. Lean into it and bring it to God. Don't lean into it as a friend, but lean into it saying, I'm going to feel it and I'm going to bring it to you because I believe you're going to help me through it. You're not going to leave me in it. You're going to bring me through it. Hallelujah. Oh, if you knew the dark things in so many lives. So many people are, oh God, just help us. We can't be fake. How do we lament? How do we lament? I feel like maybe we even need to be taught how to lament. You know, Jesus, He went to go heal Jairus' daughter, the 12-year-old girl who had died. And there were professional lamenters there. They had their flutes. They had all of these instruments in that culture. It was normal. It had become very normal for the weeping and for wailing as an expression of sorrow of what was going on in one's life. So much so that it was a profession. And that's where Jesus walked into. But we grew up in a culture where real men don't cry. And if you want to be a tough woman and feel equal, neither will you. But we have to be honest with God. We have to pour out our complaint. We have to remember what He has done for us in the past. In the past. And we have to trust His word for our present and our future. You know, sometimes our brokenness is affected by our past. And not by anything we chose. I think about the kids at a Dullum House. Orphaned. Moms are in jail. Sometimes for years. Some of them were born addicted to crack cocaine. They never chose it. And their lives have been harmed by it. And they have to sort through that. They have to sort through that. And God is a God who can take the questions. I must arise and go to Jesus. We don't need to put on a front. It's not holy to hold something in. Again, listen to me, please. It is not holy to pretend like you're not offended. It's not holy to pretend like you're not hurt. It's harmful to you, to your family, to the body of Christ, because the infection will burst through eventually, and you don't want it to eat through your spiritual bone, if I can say it that way. Better to let it out, to be humble, to be honest, and bring those things to God. God wants the whole person. The whole person. And unless I can open my whole self to God, He can never be fully glorified in me. This past week, as I went to that class, which I didn't even mean to go to, didn't even know what it was. I was just going to, as I said before, talk to those chaplains at the trauma healing. I thought it was just a monthly appointment or monthly meeting that I was somehow invited to. And I found myself in there for 8 or 9 hours a day, and the Holy Spirit would begin to bring things up from my heart that I would have to begin dealing with even right there. Things from the past. God, I thought I had dealt with that. And then He begins to float it up to the top, and I begin to deal with it afresh. And it was amazing to be out there. I was out there alone in the evenings. Time alone with God to deal with these things. And it was utterly exhausting emotionally and mentally. But there is this fresh space in my heart now for God. There's this fresh room that I didn't realize I was holding back by not letting Him deal with those things. Things that I had dealt with in part, but I needed to grieve even more and lament to my Father. and he let me do it. I remember being in my office over here several months back, and God began to bring something up that I had pushed aside and said, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. They tried their best. And then I'm weeping and I'm praising God in my tongues. And then I'm weeping again. And then I'm reading scripture and I'm calling out to God. And I'm weeping and I'm mourning things that I should have mourned all my life, but I swept aside. And now I see God as my Father so much more. It didn't end in the weeping. Weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. The purpose of lament is that we're lamenting to a God who will move on our behalf and will help us. He will help us. We must open our hearts fully to God. And this is hard, especially whenever you want to serve Him, because we try to put on a front at times. Proverbs 4:23 in one translation says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And if my heart is hiding things from God, which He already knows, then at the end of my days, I think I'll wake up in heaven and I'll look back and I'll say, I didn't let You use me. I didn't let You break me. I didn't let You confront me with the pain of this life. I didn't let You do it. I threw myself into books or movies or music or being busy for God and all these things. I couldn't let the silence be there in the car. The moment it was, I'd begin to deal with the frustration and all the things. And so I would just turn on Pimpler Spanish and, you know, and just start rolling and like, oh, I'm not going to think about that. You know, como estas? You know, you're just like going. You're like, yeah, I see, I'm just doing stuff. And then you turn it off and you realize, wow, I got some stuff that God wants to deal with here. I just haven't given Him the time to do it. We will never know the healing power of Jesus Christ and that in His character and what He's done on the cross for us if we don't open it up. If we don't open it up here. Go with me, please, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. It says in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Notice it doesn't just say Christ as if I'm bound to Him by my legal declaration of I believe You're God and He is just legally, you know, oh, you're forgiven now and yeah, you're adopted and all this kind of stuff. No, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Love. What is love? It's emotional, right? It's emotional. We have emotions. We are made in the image of God. We are made in the image of God, and it says in Genesis 6 that when He saw man and He saw their sin continually being poured out on the earth, it grieved Him in His heart. Grieved God. It says in Ephesians, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He can be wounded, as Pastor Lee has said. He can be hurt in His heart. We have emotions because God has emotions. Emotions are not weak. They are a reflection of God. They just come against us sometimes because we are sinful because of the fall. So they can take us aside to different places. But emotions in themselves are quite neutral. They are simply a part of being a human. And so God has love for us. Love for us. Feely, touchy love that will put its hand out and let a Roman soldier drill a nail through it. That kind of love. What will separate me from that kind of emotional love? The kind of love that weeps over Jerusalem. Weeps over it. Y'all, I need this for me because so many times I can get caught up in the fact of just being legally justified before God that I can forget the relationship aspect. And how much of that He wants me to enter into. So what's going to separate me from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? How about sexual abuse from your childhood that you're ashamed of? Will that separate you from the love of Christ? Will that stop Him from completing His call in your life? Will that stop it? How about that sin that you committed 10 years ago or last week or the thought that came through your mind? Is that going to separate you from the love of Christ? And yet we say, oh, yes, You do love me. You do love me. And we're here together as a body and we're just raising up our praises to God. And it almost you feel guilty almost sometimes because you're like, man, it's so easy while we're here. Sometimes we battle, but other times it's like, yes, yes. Then we get in our cars and we feel condemned. We feel condemned. None of those things can separate us from Him, but we have to pour them out and lament until I open up my brokenness to Him and I say, have I gone too far for your love? Well, I hear, no, you haven't. Oh, I am faithful and just to forgive you of all of your sins. All of your sins. And if you read that letter by John, he's talking to saved people. If you read the beginning of that letter, it's not lost people he's saying, if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just. Now, that's true for lost people, but that in context is the saved person who has sinned. Hallelujah. I can pour out those things to God, and He will tell me I haven't gone too far. Unless I lament, how will I hear this that we sing, that Shane and Shane song? I sought the Lord and He answered me. Well, if I don't seek Him and pour out my pain, how will I know He answers me? How will I experience His love? How will I know in verse 18 it says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. If I don't confess that I'm brokenhearted, if I don't lament, how will I know He's near to me? Maybe I'm keeping Him arm's length. No, I've got to be strong, God. I went to the school of Christ. And I don't think Clint Denon ever cried. He did cry. You should have heard him. He said he cried. He said one time he kind of got into some prosperity gospel kind of thinking years and years before, decades before. And he's like, oh, that didn't bother me. He said, oh, this is junk. I'm tore up inside, God. I'm hurting. I need you. I need you. How would he ever know? How will we know that he's near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit? We'll never know his saving hand in the situations until we say, I am crushed in spirit. Whenever he went to Nazareth, it says he can do no mighty miracles there because they didn't have faith. So how can God come and save us from our pain and our need unless we have the faith that he's willing to enter into our muck and our mire and our hearts? Didn't he say, blessed are the poor in spirit? Then why do we act like it's cursed to be poor in spirit? Why do we act like we're somehow spiritual second or third class, stowaways, flying with the chickens if I'm poor in spirit? Why do we act like that? We need to learn how to lament. We need to learn how to grieve to God, because when we do this, we're going to find healing. We're going to find freedom, and we're going to find an intimacy that we never knew was possible, and that I am tasting a little bit more and a little bit more each day as I give that land to God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Why? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. You know, Paul, he poured out lament. Paul, the great apostle. Paul, who spent time in the desert with Jesus. Paul, the greatest of those. Paul, who stood up and said, no, it's by grace, not law. That Paul, you know what he said? Let's go to 2 Corinthians here. And I'm going to try to move quickly. Paul said, I don't want you to be unaware, brothers. This is verse 8, 2 Corinthians 1:8. I don't want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Can this possibly be an apostle saying that he was that weak that he wanted to die or thought he was going to die? He despaired of life. It was so dark. It was so bleak. He was so worn down that this man despaired of life. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. When I can be weak before God and pour out my woes, they don't have to look like Christie's. It can be disappointment. It can be pain. It can even be something someone said to you when you were younger that caused you pain and you have never let it out. I sat there in that class and watched as men, and one of the exercises was drawing. Draw out what you're having trouble verbalizing. And it was amazing. There was something in my heart that I could never quite verbalize, but whenever they said that, immediately the picture came to my mind. And I was like, oh my goodness, that's exactly what I'm feeling. And I turned it into a prayer to God. One of the men there, 63 years old, do you know what he drew? He drew a little boy sitting on a step like this around the front of a house. And on the side, there was a car parked. He was 4 years old, he said. That was the last time he saw his father. His mother and father got divorced. He came to him. He said, "Hey, Ricky, do you want the flashlight gun or the water gun?" He took the water gun. His mother and father, who were getting a divorce, had decided Ricky's father will never see him again. A 67-year-old man who's saying that 63 years ago, the pain of his father abandoning him on a step destroyed him. And you know what he said? He said, "Maybe I should have chosen the other gun. Maybe he would have stayed then." Can you hear the pain in his heart? But he let God in to talk to him. It's not weak to say that you've been hurt and wounded at a church by people. It just makes you human. Jesus on the cross said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He in the garden said, "Lord, if there's any other way, you're able to do all things. I'm one with you. You're able to do all things. Take this cup from me, yet not my will." If he can be that raw with his father and they are one, can we? If this 67-year-old man can pour out the pain that caused him to have a father abandon him, can we quit hiding and pour it out to God? It's not psychology. It's Bible. It's Bible. Almost half the Psalms and our Lord himself lamented. This is real. Not our culture. This is real. This is life. And this is true. And that is what makes the messages from this pulpit so powerful, is because they come from someone who is not ashamed to stand before us and say, "This is what I am going through." And it leads us to freedom as well. Hallelujah. I'm going to read just a few more scriptures here. God wants our grief. That's why Jesus came, to deliver us from sin, bring us to God, and deliver us from brokenness. It says in Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." To bind up the brokenhearted. You think that woman who was at the well wasn't brokenhearted? Had five husbands? Living with a man that's not her own? You don't think she felt used, rejected by the men? You know how dirty she probably felt? You know how she felt in the eyes of other people? Jesus saved her soul, but she came with a lot of baggage. He came to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty, freedom to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Can we admit to God that there are places in our lives that we are bound? "Oh, I'm not bound. I'm a Christian. I'm free. Those shackles came off." Yes, they did. But let me tell you something. You are not as free as you think you are, but he can take you to places you never dreamed possible. And you can look back and say, "Those shackles are a million miles behind me." We are not perfected. Paul said himself, "I press on towards the mark of the high calling in Jesus Christ." I'm not all that I'm going to be one day whenever I see him face to face and I'm made just like him. Praise God. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. It's those who mourn who will be comforted. To grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. But it started with mourning. And maybe mourning even just our own spiritual bankruptcy at times. "God, I'm not who I want to be. I don't read like I should. I don't pray like I should. Things come into my mind and I'm like, what is that? I thought I was different than that now." And then it comes in and we mourn it. And then he says he will come in comfort. He says he will come in. He changes us. He will give a beautiful headdress. Hallelujah. He is good. And just like we sang tonight, sometimes you just got to pick up the Bible. You can have it on here and that's good. But I just got to feel the pages in my hand when I read this. Because I rejoiced whenever we sang that last song, because it's my last scripture. And musicians, if you just want to come up, if you just want to stay there, you don't have to play in this exact moment. But this will be the last passage. It says this, Revelation 21. "There is victory now. There is freedom now. So I'm not trying to tell you to be depressed. Remember, lament is a tool to simply help us to get our grief to God, because He is the grief taker. He has borne it all on the cross, and He will help us, give us joy, give us hope. Remember the psalmists? My God, why have you forsaken me? Or Lord, how long, how long? And then, but you are good and you are God and I will hope in you. We have victory on this side of eternity, but there is coming a day. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people. And God Himself will be with them as their God. And what's He going to do on that day? He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Wow. That's the first thing He says He's going to do after being their God. Wow. Wow. You care about my grief. You care about my pain. He will wipe away every tear. Everyone, even the ones you think you shouldn't cry. Now listen, if we've done anything wrong, He'll correct it. He'll speak to us. There is a Holy Spirit who is a teacher. There is one who can correct me. There is one who, after I've poured my heart out raw to God, like I did there as I was complaining about things to God, why is this taking so long? Why is that taking so long? And then He, in that moment, you know what He did? He spoke to me. It opens the door. And that is one thing I do and must say. When we lament to God, you speak, but then listen and allow Him to say whatever He wants to you. He may convict you. He may comfort you. Sometimes He'll convict you and then He'll comfort you. But He will most definitely speak to you if your ears are open. And in that moment, you know what He told me to do when I lamented? He told me to pick up my Bible. He told me to go look at the life of Paul. And then it led me to do other things. But He began to speak to me and my mouth was shut. He let me pour it out and He encouraged me. Every tear will be wiped away. There, death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. And He says, behold, I'll make all things new. Ultimately, full healing and everything will be dealt with. And I want to invite you tonight to start whatever God is dealing with in your heart. And maybe you don't even, maybe He's not doing anything in this moment. Maybe this is something you just need to listen to and respond in faith to. But at some point you will need it, because there is grief between the time we are saved till the time we see Jesus face to face. Come and talk to God. Come and talk to Jesus. Ask Him to raise those things up in your heart. And you know what? He may miraculously deal with everyone right here, right now. But I have a feeling that there are going to be some things He brings up that you're going to carry with you. And you're going to feel raw. And you're going to feel emotional. And you're going to feel scared. And you're going to feel tired, because it's going to keep you up tonight and for days. And you're going to be afraid. But that's what happens when you let a skilled surgeon work on you. He begins to touch the places where you're sore on your toe, on your leg. Cuts it. Lays it open. And there's a healing process. But He will walk you through it. You may not even know what to say. But I guarantee you, if you come to your Father, if you come to your Savior, He will show you by His Spirit. God, I thank You. You tell us to lament. I thank You it's okay to cry. I thank You it's okay to be weak. Because in our weakness, like the great Apostle Paul said, then there's healing. Oh God, we're Your people and we're raw. And I just ask that You would be so gracious to protect every heart tonight as we open up ourselves to You, that we would not force anything. We would not put our hands on other people, but we would let You be the nurse, the surgeon, the orderly in everything. That You, the finisher and the beginner of our faith, will help us to begin to lament, will bring us through however long it takes. You will help us to grieve and to be more whole on the other side, to find fresh space, to be able, like that woman that Noah said, to say, He has done great things. What can I thank Him for when my life has been filled with rejection and pain? Well, pour that out to God, and then maybe you'll leave singing all the wondrous things He's done.